Psalm 68. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you, God, went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain, before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announces the word, and the women who proclaim it are a mighty throng. Kings and armies flee in haste. The women at home divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the sheepfolds, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Mount Salmon. Mount Bashan, majestic mountain, majestic Bashan, rugged mountain. Why gaze in envy, you rugged mountain, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are 10,000s and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Surely God will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. The Lord says, I will bring them from Bashan. I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that your feet may wade in the blood of your foes, while the tongues of your dogs have their share. Your procession, God, has come into view, the procession of my God and King into the sanctuary. In front are the singers, after them the musicians. With them are the young women playing the tambourines. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There the great throng of Judah's princes, and there the princes of Zebulun and of Naphtali. Summon your power, God. Show us your strength, our God, as you have done before. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring you gifts. Rebuke the beast among the reeds, the herd of bulls among the calves of nations. Humbled may the beast bring bars of silver. Scatter the nations who delight in war. Envoys will come from Egypt. Cush will submit herself to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides across the highest heavens, the ancient heavens, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God.
Great. Thank you, Katrina. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm. And we pray that this morning you'd be with us by your Spirit. Help us to know you better, and in doing so, to trust you more, to rely on you more, and to praise you more. Amen. Now, I wonder who here has ever been on a long journey. Anyone been on a long journey recently? Few people. How long's your journey, David? 13 hours. Wow, that is a long journey, isn't it? That's massive. Maybe you had to stop along the way on your long journey. Maybe you had to stop somewhere for lunch or just have a break. Or maybe you stopped off specifically to visit a special landmark or to admire the view. Perhaps you're just back from Keswick and you went on some long walks there. Well, my favourite walk in Keswick is the one that's hopefully coming up on the screen. It's the Castle Crag Walk, because there are lots of super places to stop on the way. There's a stepping stone bridge. Can we see the stepping stone bridge? There it is. Oh, it's going now. There's a stepping stone bridge. There's a scramble up a mountain of slate. And on the way back, you can stop and paddle in the freezing cold stream. Now, journeys often have different parts to them, or they can be broken up into different stages. And in our psalm today, the author of the psalm, King David, goes on a journey as he reminds his people of how God himself, travelled with them after God rescued them from Egypt. They started at Mount Sinai. Have we got the map here? Brilliant. Yeah, they started at Mount Sinai after they'd been rescued. They went through the wilderness, finally into the promised land, and then all the way to Jerusalem. And the people of God's journey was a little bit longer than 13 hours. It took them hundreds of years to get all the way to Jerusalem. Now, in a couple of minutes, we are going to journey with David and see what he has to teach us about God as we go. There's something else we need to keep in mind about Psalm 68 as we read it. Paul the Apostle quotes it in his letter to the church at Ephesus in the New Testament. And in that letter, he uses this psalm and this journey of God with his people to point towards Jesus. Jesus' journey to earth, to the cross, and then his ascension to heaven. And as we go on this journey with David, we'll also be thinking about what we're learning about Jesus too. Now, we don't have time to look at this link in detail, but it's worth spending time on later on in the week. We also won't be able to look at the whole psalm because it's 35 verses, but we will be looking at the key verses. Now, kids in the church, who's here and who wants to come on a journey with me? I can see a few kids around. Excellent, I've got a few volunteers, that's brilliant. We're going to go on a journey here in the church. If you're a kid and you're watching at home, maybe you could do a quick lap of your lounge, but come back to the screen to see the same things that we're looking at when we stop. So I'm going to grab, it was on already, grab the other microphone. Okay, so some kids come up with me. We're going to go on a journey. You want to come, Luke? Excellent. Daniel, yeah, you can come. You're coming as well. This one knows that there might be food. That's why he's coming, I think. Joseph, you coming? No, you're going to stay with Grandpa. Alan, do you want to come? I'm joking. Excellent. We've got some David's Rapons, got Albie. Fantastic. Okay, let's go on our journey. We're going to go back over 3,000 years to Mount Sinai. It's this way. Who can see Mount Sinai? Let's see if we can find it. It's going to take a while. Have you found it, Albie? Yeah, it's Mount Sinai. Excellent. So we're here at Mount Sinai, and hopefully, well, we can't see the screen from over here, but everyone else can. On the screen, it was an exciting and scary time for the people of God. The people of God had been enslaved by the Egyptians for hundreds of years. Then God rescued them with amazing miracles and brought them through the sea. God brought them here to Mount Sinai, where he appeared to Moses and gave them his law. He then told them to build something special. Have a look in the shoebox and see what you can find in there. If we go to the next slide, then we should be able to see on the screen. Hold it up. What have we got?
Don't touch it.
Daniel knows.
Don't touch it.
So on the screen is what we've got out of the box. As Daniel's rightly pointing out, the ancient Israelites weren't allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant, but this one's just a model. So it's okay. We can touch this one. Who's going to hold? Do you want to hold that one? Thank you very much, Amanda. Well done. Now, this is the Ark of the Covenant. It's where they kept the law, and God told them that he would meet with Moses on top of the Ark. And it was the Ark that went out in front of the people of God as they traveled from Sinai to the Promised Land. This is where David's journey starts. And the first verse of the psalm is exactly the same as the prayer that Moses prayed whenever the ark set out, as we're told in Numbers 10. So we're going to read that verse, plus verses 2 and 3 together. They should be on the screen. You guys will have to listen over here. So let's read this together. May God arise. May his enemies be scattered. May his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Amen to that. The people of God would have been really encouraged to know that God went before them, and that God's enemies would be blown away like smoke. Who here has ever blown out birthday candles? Only a few of you. I'm surprised. Okay, how easy is it to blow out birthday? Is it easy or hard? Easy. It's really easy, unless your dad's a joker and he's got you the ones that don't go out. I guess from knowing a few of your dads, you've probably had that. It's easy to blow smoke, isn't it? And that's how easy it is for God to defeat his enemies. So for God's people back in Egypt, with God leading them, they could be confident that they would be safe. With God leading them, they can be happy and joyful. Now, we don't have the real Ark of the Covenant. In fact, this isn't the real one. This is just a model. But that doesn't matter, because God is no longer on the Ark. We have something much better than that. If we're Christians, then God always goes with us, because Christians have God the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Amazing. That's how Christians can be happy and joyful before God, because he's with us forever. Right, let's move on our journey with David to the wilderness. We need the ark to go first. Remind us that Jesus is with us. Do you want to go first, Amanda? To the wilderness. Can you find it? Keep going. Don't be distracted along the way. Not even by my little brother. Have you found the wilderness? Brilliant. Well done. Okay, let's gather around the wilderness, everybody. Right, we're here in the wilderness. Look, we can see on the screen now. Look at that. Great, you want to stand up, Levi? Thanks. We're here in the wilderness. What does the wilderness look like, guys? It's on the screen. Would you like to live here?
Yeah.
Okay, just Daniel. Okay, there we go, Mises Edmonds. You're off to the desert. No one else wants to live here, though. It's really barren. The people of God would have felt, same as you guys, they wouldn't have wanted to live here either. They'd have been worried about what they would eat and how they'd survive. Right, do you want to have a look in the box, Luke? See what's in there this time. What have we got? What are they? What do they look like? They look tasty. Fantastic. Well, Luke, hold them up. We've got these, which are, well, these are waffles, aren't they? But if you look on the screen, they're a little bit like the manna that God provided from heaven. He sustained people in the wilderness for 40 years. Let's read verses 7 to 10 together. Okay, have a look on the screen. Let's read this together. When you, God, went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, And from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. Thanks, everyone. When God was with the people in the wilderness, he refreshed them and provided for them. He gave them water and food, all that they needed in great quantities. And as Christians, we need to remember that we've got God with us. He will refresh and provide for us. The people in the wilderness were worried and were tempted to turn away from God, to want the things of the world, and that God wasn't providing. But God's presence with them reminded them that all they needed came from him. And in the same way, we can be tempted to long for the things that God hasn't provided for us, or to be tempted not to trust that God will look after us. But his presence with us, his Holy Spirit, reminds us that he's all that we need. And in the psalm, if we just go back to the words for a second, David says in verse 9 that God sent lots of rain to refresh his people. Who likes the rain? Yeah, there's a couple of people like the rain. The gardeners here like the rain. Well, when it rains, we can remember this psalm and remember that God refreshes us. Okay, onwards to the promised land. Let's go to the promised land. I think the promised land's over here. Super. Don't open the box yet, guys. Oi, 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 oi. Right, Daniel, can you hold the sign up, please? Not the waffles, just the sign. So, here we are in the promised land. Have a quick look on the screen. Hopefully you will see that it looks amazing. Look at those beautiful green fields, lush landscape. Isn't that fantastic? It looks like a great... Tell you what. At the end, if your mummy says yes, you can have a waffle, okay? It looks like a great place to settle. But there's a problem. There are scary people. Look on the screen. There are scary people here in the promised land already. What will God's people do? Well, let's read verse 14 together. Verse 14. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Mount Zalmon. David reminds his people that if God is with them, they do not need to be scared of God's enemies. The people of Israel watched God scatter the kings like the land, in the land like snow. Who here likes the snow? Do you like the snow? Excellent. Lots of people like the snow. Now, have a look at the picture on the screen. Guys, look at the picture on the screen. Can you see the snow on top of that rail? What would you do if you were walking along and you saw that? Yeah, you'd run your hand along and send the snow flying in all directions. Fiona knows what I mean. And that's easy to do, isn't it? Well, that's how easy it was for God to scatter the kings in the land. The people of God did not need to fear. But what does that mean for us? We're not under threat from kings of other nations. Well, not here in the UK, at least, anyway. Our enemies now are much more subtle. They're much harder to spot. Guys, you listening? In fact, when people are baptized, we encourage them to fight valiantly. Can you remember who we encourage them to fight valiantly against? Is it the kings of other nations? I think people in the church can probably remember. We encourage them to fight valiantly against sin, the world, and the devil. These are things, these are God's enemies. They try to lead us away from trusting God. They'd lead anything that says that God can't or won't save us is our enemy. Anything that tempts us to look to things in the world to make us happy is our enemy. And whilst we're to fight against these three enemies, God has already defeated them forever. Okay, guys, now you can open the final box. Yay. What have we got in here?
A sword.
It's not a sword. It is a cross. Thank you very much. Hold it the right way up, please, Daniel. Thank you. So it's the cross. And Paul reminds us in Colossians 2:14 that God has forgiven us, nailing our sins to the cross. And at the cross, Jesus took our sins on himself and died in our place so that we might be forgiven forever and be safe with God forever. At the cross, sin, the world, and the devil were defeated forever. Okay, we'll take the cross with us to our final occasion to Jerusalem. If you come and put everything at the front, and then maybe at the end you can come back for the waffles, and then we'll go and sit down, okay? Let's go and put everything at the front, guys, in front of the screen. Thank you very much for coming on this journey with me. At the end, you're going to wait to the end. Okay, this way, guys, let's go to the Jerusalem. Mind the cables, well done. Great, let's pop everything down here. Brilliant, well done, thank you very much, super. And you're going to have a sit down with your parents.
Shoes coming loose.
Yeah, you can do shoes up. Great, pop them down, go and sit down, guys, well done. Off you go. We got the ark. The ark can stay with Amanda for now, that's not a problem. You can keep the mark if you want, Amanda. Super, here we are, back in Jerusalem. Okay, in our psalm, David takes his people on the final stage of their journey here. He tracks the final journey of God and the ark to their resting place in Jerusalem, into the tent which David had prepared for it. And we're going to read verses 17 and 18 together. So have a look on the screen now, if you can see. Let's read these together. The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Thank you. Can you imagine the triumphant procession before the ark as the ark was brought into Jerusalem? We should have a picture of it. David, if you remember from the book of Samuel, was dancing before the ark. He was so happy. And when the ark was brought to Jerusalem, all peoples, God's people and his enemies alike, brought gifts and tribute. This is a great moment in the history of Israel. So we've traced the path of God leading his people out of Egypt to Sinai, where he gave them his law and his presence, through the wilderness into the promised land, and then finally ascending on high in Jerusalem. And in the letter to the Ephesians that I mentioned at the start, Paul directly quotes verse 18 to refer to Jesus' final ascension into heaven. So if you remember, Jesus died on the cross. He then rose 3 days later. Then after another 40 days, he ascended into heaven. Paul explains how, having ascended into heaven, Jesus then gives his people the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with them forever, to lead them, reassure them, and to give them power and abilities to serve and worship him. So as we come to apply this psalm to our lives, let's read verses 19 and 20 together. Great. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. What a great verse. Our God is a God who saves. And we're going to think about three ways we can apply this psalm. Firstly, trust God, he saves. Secondly, rely on God. He bears our burdens. And thirdly, praise God. He alone is awesome. So we've seen that God is a God who saves. He saved his people in Psalm 68 from all their enemies. And through Jesus, he saves anyone who believes and trusts in him. Are you trusting in Jesus? Trust God because he saves. Secondly, we've seen God look after his people through all their trials. We've just read that God daily bears our burdens. When you're troubled or in pain or worried about something, do you turn to God and pray? Well, you can. In any and all situations, you can always turn to God in prayer and he will bear your burden. Lastly, David encourages us to praise God because he's worthy of praise. Look at the last verse in the psalm, verse 35. David describes God as awesome. Now, sadly, the word awesome is now used to describe all sorts of things, like films, football goals, and cakes. But originally, only God was awesome. It was a special word used to make it clear just how amazing, impressive, and powerful he is. God is awesome. So let's finish by praising God together by saying verse 35. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for showing us your power and your love. Please help us to trust you in everything, but especially to save us from sin, the world, and the devil. Please help us to rely on you when we're struggling, and please help us to praise you forever. Amen. Does anyone have any questions? Super. One from Bob at the back. I've got the microphone, Bob.
It's a bit general and sweeping, and it's said all through this. Can be thought of anywhere, but may God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. Why, the creator of everything, did he make his own enemies and foes?
Sorry, I missed that. Why did God create enemies? That's a really good question. As you said, it's a big question. So the Bible tells us that God created people to have a relationship with him, and that they were tempted and they turned away from him. There was a curse put on the world, but in that curse there was also the promise of people being saved. And then through the course of the entire Bible, we've seen some people turn to God in faith and repentance, and we've seen other people who've decided to stay angry and reject God. So I don't think we know exactly why God created the devil and temptation, except we do know that through this whole process of judgment and salvation, his son Jesus Christ is glorified. So on the cross, we see Jesus defeating his enemies, saving his people, which is amazing that Jesus would die for us, for me, for you, for everyone here. And that brings great glory to him. So I think maybe that's why we have history as we do. Does that help? Sort of. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Not for now. Okay. Great. We'll be looking at this a bit more on Wednesday in home group. So if you want to get in a little bit deeper, we'll be doing that then.